Good morning. It's a little bit like waiting for buses, isn't it? Two David Bakers appear all at the same time. You probably noticed and I've had the privilege of being able to speak previously, and it generally is what's going on in my Christian walk. And this is aimed at me, but it's also aimed at anyone that has got the same situation. So if the cap fits, please wear it. The title of the talk this morning is Seize the Moment, and I wonder how many of us have had situations where we feel we should be somewhere, we should say something, we should do something, and we know our head's telling us to do it, our spiritual heart is telling us to do it, and still we let it pass us by. We do not seize the moment. And seizing the moment is to embrace our inner abilities, to take advantage of life's opportunities, to do that wherever and whatever is necessary, for striving in our life for our full potential, and to do our best for the people around us, but more importantly, the best for God. I wonder how many of us have sat in a church and the pastor has been praying and said, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if this applies to you, put your hand up, and have not done it, you've not seized the moment. I wonder how many times, excuse me, we've had situations where there's been an altar call and people have been asked to come forward. Excuse me again. Asked to come forward, and we've just sat in our seat. That's seizing the moment, not letting it pass us by. There's a saying, don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. I'm an expert of don't put off tomorrow until you can what you can do next week and maybe the week after. We've been looking at a church at Ephesians chapter 3, and I'd just like to read, I don't know whether you've got the PowerPoint, Joe, but if you could just put that up, you can read the words along as I read it out. If not, it doesn't matter. It's Ephesians 3. Oh, thank you. And chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. This is from the New Living Translation. Oh, it's the wrong one, but it doesn't matter. All right, thank you. I hope you can read that. It's a bit small. But this is a prayer that the Apostle Paul included in a letter to the Ephesians, and we're just going to look at one verse of that this morning. And it says, and it's to all of us, I believe, I pray from his glorious, unlimited inner strength through his Holy Spirit, and pray that Christ will be more at home in your hearts as you trust him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. And that's what I personally want, to be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. And three or four lines up, to experience the love of Christ. And that is my prayer for you this morning, and everyone experiences the love of Christ. In the New King James Bible, verse 17 is expressed like this. It says, for Christ to dwell in our hearts First, we must be rooted and grounded in love. We must be rooted and grounded in love. And that's the line we're going to look at this morning. My question this morning to me and to you is, am I and are you rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus? It's interesting to note that in the New Living Translation, love appears, the word love, 759 times. So it is significant. Excuse me. Love is the most important feeling and emotion. It's the opposite of hate. It's an antidote or a cure for disagreements, for deceit, for violence, for hostility and war. I knew, again, I have to cough, excuse me. I knew someone a while ago, we'll call him Warren, because that actually was his name. And when I met him, you were hard-pressed to spend 10 minutes in his company without him saying, share the love, to express and endorse something that he just said. The Baptist minister, civil rights campaigner and philosopher, Martin Luther King Jr., said this, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." We could say, with the terrible things that are going on in the world, war will not drive out war, only love will do that. So what does the Bible say about love? In John 1, 5, it says, "The light keeps shining in the dark, and darkness has never been put out." And darkness has never put it out. I know that didn't sound right. The light keeps shining in the dark, and darkness has never put it out, and it never will put it out. What is the source of light? Well, we find that in John 8:12. And what John 8:12 tells us, it's something that Jesus has said. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And is that what you want? I want the light of life. I don't want to walk in darkness. So how can we get light and prevent ourselves stumbling in the dark? We need to be grounded and rooted in love. Jesus and love are interchangeable. Jesus displayed, administered, and was love. He was foretold that he was love as well, because in John 3:16, we're told, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." And again, that's what I want. I don't want to perish. Don't want to stumble in the dark. And I would like eternal life. And I'd like it for everyone in this building too. So we're grounded. There's no finer place to be grounded than in church. And this is a place where we can get fed, the nutrition we need as Christians that promotes growth. We need to plant ourselves in that environment. It doesn't just happen. And we need to be led to the church by God. The Bible, a Bible-led church, such as the Upper Gornal Pentecostal or Evelyn Church, is good. We need to read the Bible, understand the Bible, accept the Bible, and this is the difficult bit sometimes, live the Bible. We need to grow with God's strength. This will remove darkness from our lives. And darkness is insecurity, uncertainty, disappointment, disillusionment, despondency, doubt, stress, worry, fear. Do you ever experience, or have you ever experienced, any of those? It can be health concerns, the darkness. It can be money problems. It can be disagreements, family issues. These dark thoughts and fears will be reduced by the light of Jesus. And that's what we're looking at this morning. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light, the light of Jesus, can do that. Once we've become grounded and we've found where we flourish and get closer to Jesus, our roots can begin to grow. Now, like plants, roots are generally unseen. They're below ground. But because we're grounded in the right place, and as we said, in a Bible-led church, we're reading the Bible, we're meeting fellow Christians, we pray and ask God to lead us and show us how to grow. Our roots now begin to grow. The quality of our growth above ground is visible, or should be visible, and by our actions and our deeds, what we say, the type of people we are. It all depends on our roots. A while ago, we bought a magnolia tree. If there's any gardeners, I think it's a Magnolia stellata. It's a lovely tree with little white flowers that comes in the spring. And we put it in, it was quite an expensive pot at the time, a big pot. And the tree didn't flower very well, didn't grow particularly, and just seemed to be limited. A few years ago, I put it in the garden, and the tree now is a joy every spring, or when it flowers. It flowers. It's an abundance of magnificent magnolia flowers, and it really is truly a sight to behold. But it was stunted because of its growth, because it was pot-bound, and now it's not. It's not restricted anymore. And that's a little bit like us. I don't know whether you know much about the redwood tree that comes from California. And I think it's a native of California. They are in other countries now. But they can grow up to 300 feet tall. And to all your youngsters here, that's 100 metres. And that's twice the height of Nelson's Column. And the surprising fact of the redwood is that the root system on it, the roots only go down vertically about 10 feet, again, 3 metres. So the tree is effectively 50 times higher than its roots below the ground. But it does have a secret weapon with its roots. And the roots go horizontally 60 metres to 80 metres. That's round about, 60 feet to 8. I'm getting mixed up myself now with all this imperial and metric, but you know. It goes along 60 feet to 80 feet with its roots, but only 10 feet down, and that's round about 20 metres. But its other secret weapon is this: the roots of the redwood tree actually intertwine with other redwood trees. So that when storms and problems come, when the weather gets bad and situation, the environment is bad, it has security and stability. And that is like us as Christians. If our roots are growing properly and growing as they should, we can then intertwine with other Christians. And that is what we do in our church. And I think we do it very effectively. And I thank everyone that has intertwined with my roots. This is really church unity. And it's something that's been on my heart. And I know on our prayer meeting that we have on Wednesday, we pray for the wonderful unity we have in this church to increase and become stronger. In Ecclesiastes, in verse 4:12, It was written, as you know, by Solomon. He, who was the wisest person to walk the planet apart from Jesus, and he said this: a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. And I'm sure we know this when we have our issues and problems. But two can stand back to back and conquer those problems. And then he goes on to say, three are even better. And I would think if you went on even further, it'd say four or five, or the church is even better. But he does say three are even better. And then he says, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Those are like the redwood roots and intertwining. I was surprised to learn that there is a national week of, or there was, a national week of prayer on the 6th of September. Did anyone know that? Just out of interest, I didn't. But I found out recently. And I was even more surprised to find out that there are of the order of 80 national celebration days. These are in addition to the ones such as Easter and what have you that we know. Now, I know that we haven't got time to go through all 80, so don't worry, you can breathe a sigh of relief. But I'd just like to point out six of them. And one of them made me smile. The first national day was on the 21st of January this year, and it's the National Hugging Day. Now, I think there's someone in this church probably has been doing that every day, and he probably thought it was a year of hugging. And when the year changes, they'll probably carry on. But the 21st of January was a National Hugging Day. The 2nd of February was a Yorkshire Pudding Day. And you've probably noticed all these are food. I wonder why. 3rd to the 9th of March this year was British Pie Week. The 4th of May, you probably all know this, don't you? Star Wars Day, because May the 4th be with you. And 17th of November, you can make that one if you wish, is Homemade Bread Day. And the 7th of December, Wear a Christmas Jumper Day. So I hope you'll all get into the spirit there and follow those national days. We're proud to announce this morning that we have an Upper Gornal Pentecostal Church Seize the Moment Day, and that is starting today. And can we perhaps try and do it every day? Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. I believe everyone here can benefit from seizing the moment. We all have things, issues, outstanding that need us to seize and work upon. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is yet to come. We only have today. So let us make the best of today. Our future is created by what we do today, not tomorrow. And let's deal with today's business today. And that's what I'm here for. The next scripture is something that King Solomon again wrote, and he said in Ecclesiastes 4:4, and I may have mentioned this once before when I've been standing in this position, because it's something that I can equate to. It says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. And in the New Living Translation, that's from the NIV, it actually puts it this way. It says, if you wait for the perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. I wonder how many can relate to that. I certainly can. Do we seize the moment? Do we seize the opportunities that come before us? Do we try to do and achieve what needs to be done today? Do we seize the moment and read our Bible when we can? Do we seize the moment and pray when we can and when it's appropriate? Do we seize the moment and meet with fellow Christians when we can? Do we seize the moment and help and support others when we can? Or do we, as I sometimes do, spend time looking at a smartphone? Do we pursue Facebook, Google, or watch? I don't actually watch Under the Hammer, but I've got Watch Under the Hammer here. But you know what I mean. We could put this telly on and it's 24 hours a day. So as we conclude, did I hear a sigh of relief? Let us just ask and review where we are. Are we grounded and rooted in love? Why do we need to be planted and grounded in a Bible-led church? Why do we need to pray? Why do we need to read our Bible? Why do we need to meet with others? In 1 Corinthians, and I've not got the verse, but you can find it yourself. three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And we know that, we've sung today about the love of Jesus. Once we have cultivated the love, like Jesus showed the world, and once we have passed on the love to others, we will be more comfortable with ourselves. And I truly do believe that. We'll be able to deal with life's challenges if we've got the love of Jesus living in us and living through us and touching others. We'll have less stress, reduce worry, no fear. Our roots will grow and spread like those redwoods and intertwine with fellow Christians as we join together in unity. Now, Psalm 133, verses 1 and 3 say this: how good and pleasant it is when people live together in unity. And it's so much common sense, that is, isn't it? It's for the Lord bestows his blessing, even life for everyone. Unity is a byproduct of us passing Jesus' love to others. Jesus' love is perfect love if Christians will play nicely together. There'll be no disagreements, no gossip, no anger, no disillusionment, no disappointment, no throwing our teddy out of the pram. And I'm guilty of all of those. So unity, I think, is so, so important. And I think everyone in the church this morning is here for a reason. Everyone has been drawn. And I should imagine there's people probably sitting that nearly didn't come because of issues or whatever that they've encountered. But I'm really glad that you came. And I believe God is glad that you came too. Everyone is important. There's a whole range of things. The people that are on the welcome team, the people that are on the desk here, the musicians, the people that are doing children's work downstairs, the Sunday school. I parked up on the car park a while ago and noticed how neat the edges are around the car park. And thank you. There are two people, you know, though. I won't embarrass you, Anthony and Ruth, but thank you very much. There's tea. There's the leadership here. There's our pastor, pastor's wife, the leaders. There's so many things that have been done. It's part of a team, and it's so important that we realise that. But everyone's important, and everyone's loved equally the way that God loves, and he loves each one of us. And what I would like to do, this is, if it'll work, because you know what it's like in this church, the technical aspects. Now, you add one factor, and that's me, who's just found out how to switch a computer on. And I've downloaded a video that I think shows unity in a wonderful way. that I'd like you just to have a quick look at, if that's okay. And the unity that you see here starts with one person and it grows, and everyone's important. There are people that you won't actually see on the video that are part of the total work, people that are in the background just doing what they can. So if we can get it to work, that would be wonderful. There's a common cause in the video, people working together